We're in the book of Galatians. We're going to read a wider passage. We're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, of course. And we'll begin with that passage in 5:22, Galatians, and then read down into chapter 6. Hear the word of the Lord. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. In our summer series, we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, one by one, each aspect of the fruit. We've noted each time that Paul's picture here is of a bountiful harvest. Grain that has been sown widely now is being harvested. The Spirit who has sown in your heart and in your life, first through regeneration and then through His sanctifying work, through His Word implanted, is bringing forth a harvest. And that harvest shows itself as a list or a series of virtues. Paul is not alone among the writers of the early centuries in having a virtue list. These virtues that he sets forth are virtues that are ideal in the Christian. They are things that the Christian should have manifested. It should be obvious. The Christian should be described or characterized by these virtues. In fact, he begins, interestingly enough, with love. And we know the preeminence of love as a Christian virtue and a way of living your life that Paul emphasizes in his letter to the Corinthian church, especially in 1 Corinthians 13, where he talks about the various aspects and the dimensions and the outworking of love, what love is. And joy and peace and patience, long-suffering, all the rest. He's setting forth a list. Last week we looked at kindness. And today we look at goodness. Goodness. Now the word in the Greek language is the word agathos, and it is two words that are pretty closely related. Agathos and kolos go hand in hand, and you see them used almost interchangeably, but they have a little nuance of difference between the two. So much so that the person in the ancient Greek world that Socrates would speak of and that Plato would write of was the agathoi, the good people, the good persons. The agathoi were people of outstanding character and nobility in the ancient world. In fact, the word really means worthy or outstanding. It has to do with excellence. And we see that word and its companion word, kolos, used even in this chapter. Later on in the chapter, the other word for good is used. But it's a goodness that is more than just good as opposed to bad. It is good in terms of excellence. It is good in terms of beauty. When the Lord created, He looked upon the creation and He made an affirmation about the creation. It was good. It was good. It was that which was excellent and beautiful and worthy. The English language tells us that we have a little gradation in good. There's good, then there's better, and there's best. The comparative and the superlative. Good, better, best. Well, this word should be the word best, because it means the top tier, the very best in character. And the cultivating of this virtue is absolutely imperative for the Christian. So many people in the ancient world in the first century that came to know the Lord came to know the Lord out of a life of absolute decadence, immorality, moral filthiness. Paul makes reference several times in his letters of how some of the people who are now believers at once upon a time were in their life, they were liars, they were thieves, they were homosexuals, they had all kinds of backgrounds that were not anywhere near the nobility. In fact, so many of the believers by the mid-first century were people that were of the lower classes, the slave classes, who in many cases were bereft of education and culture, even good Greek or Roman culture, and they were the common, the ordinary. In fact, they were the people that were considered mean or way below average in so many ways with respect to virtues. They had come from a life of hard scrabble, and they were knaves and naughty people. And we've said many times that the Lord will take anybody as they are if they come in faith and repentance. If they come to Christ humbly, asking for mercy, relying upon the finished work of Christ, the atoning death of Christ to atone for their sins, to wipe clean the record, to give them a clean slate, a clean sheet of paper, to begin their life. But it's the work of the Spirit in our hearts that begins to change us and to make us into what we need to be. There is, in a very real sense, in the New Testament, an ethic that is taught. And when we sort of understand all the facets of the ethic, we begin to see that what we are supposed to be as Christians, and that the Spirit is working within our hearts to make us be, is very, very excellent people. Good people. Upright. Moral. Honest. Clean. Well-spoken. Having gotten the defilements out of our lives, the defilements of sexual sin, the defilements of cursing, profanity and vulgarity is not part of our conversation. We have learned to walk in love. We have learned to walk in purity. We've learned to walk in biblical holiness. The Lord has taught us to be the agathoi, the good people. Has He? Is it working out in your life? What areas of your life need to be upgraded, need to be amended and repaired, not in order that you might earn eternal life, but that you have eternal life, and that life within you is the life of the Spirit. And the Spirit overcomes and wars with and is victorious over the flesh of your life. And that's what living the Christian life is all about. The ancient Hebrews looked for this particular virtue in their prince. They wanted their king to be a man of uprightness, integrity, good, moral, honest, a champion of excellence, highly competent, highly qualified. And they even wanted their king to be a man of beauty. Saul was called upon to be the first king, and a lot of the reason that Saul was called upon to be the first king is he represented that. The son of Kish was an upright man. He was tall. He was handsome. He had the qualities. He was honest. He was hardworking. He was a man of the people in so many ways and had great character. Of course, we know the story of Saul as his life went along and he let sin reign in his mortal body rather than the Spirit reign in his body. And eventually, the Spirit of God departed from Saul. And we know the awful demise of King Saul. But they had that beauty, that excellence. David, the ideal king of Israel, came along and he represented that. And Solomon was the one arrayed in beauty, not just in his garments, his clothes, his lifestyle, and the opulence and all the gold and the splendor of Solomon's reign, but Solomon's character. And it was Solomon and the men within his school that copied out and wrote for us and preserved for us and used the Proverbs of the Old Testament are items in the curriculum for training the young prince, the sons of the king, to be an agathoi, a good person. And he was to learn all of the virtues. In the Greek, this word, the agathoi, pictures the life of the person as an ordered life, a life of balance, without the highs of exhilaration and excess, nor the lows of depression, despondency, and mean-spiritedness. It is not only a balanced life, but it's a life of harmony, a life that is lived in good relationships with all those that are close, maintaining the right harmonious relationship with a spouse, with children, with parents, family members, people with whom you work, people with whom you have a discourse each day, with customers and with vendors. The agathoi, the good, was the person that had a life characterized by harmony, peace, peacefulness, a peaceful spirit, a soft answer that turned away wrath, a good heart toward people. But it was also the agathoi, the good, also lived a life of fulfillment. That is, that they did things, the good that they did was done in such a way as to build, to edify, to build up, to strengthen. In other words, they helped people. Kind of an old-fashioned way of looking at it is the way I've sort of had a little proverb in my life is any undertaking that I've had in my life and any place I've been and anything I've done, any place I've lived, any job I've had, I've tried to leave the wood pile a little higher than I found it. In other words, I want to contribute. I want to put something in there. And nothing in the world pushes us more than to see how are we doing in our daily lives. It's easy to come to church on Sunday after a good shower and a good night's sleep and come into a beautiful place like this with other beautiful people and look pretty good. And if I were to go down the pews and up and down the rows, I would probably recognize each one of you as being a good person. And that's a good start. We need to be. I remember a man asking, a young man in when I was in college, asking Dr. White, who was the dean of the School of Religion at Dallas Baptist University and kind of an old-time philosopher. And deep East Texas, of course, he had a PhD and a couple of other things, but he tried to act like he had a fourth-grade education, and he wanted to make sure you, if you'll pardon the expression, that you misunderestimated him. He was one of these kind of guys that didn't flaunt it. And I remember one of the students asking Dr. White one day in class, said, "Dr. White, how would you characterize a Christian?" And I thought, you know, get out your pen and take a note and see what old Doc White's going to say characterizes a Christian. And I remember Dr. White just kind of laughed a little and giggled. He said, "Well," he said, "a Christian," he always made this gesture, didn't he, Paula? "A Christian is just a good person." And that's exactly what we're called upon to be. A good person. A life of balance, a life of beauty, a life of harmony, a life of fulfillment. It is the beauty of the soul. When God created the whole creation, He said, "It's good." And in the new creation, with His new creatures, you and me, can He make that same affirmation? It's good. They're good people. They live right. They do right. They help people. I don't care how many Bible studies you go to or how many prayers you pray. If when you get up off your knees and when you walk out of that Bible study, if you don't just do right, you're a poor testimony to your faith. Paul, in another place, those of you that are veterans of these services in the last few years here, remember that not too long ago, 3 or 4 years ago, we went through the book of Philippians. And in that book, I noted as we went through there that Philippi was second only to Rome in terms of nobility. Of course, Philippi had been the capital of the ancient Greek Empire, which had been superseded by the Roman Empire. And only Philippi, the city of Philippi in Macedonia, was second only to Rome in its nobility. There were more Roman citizens living there than in any other town in the empire. And there were more retired generals and people of the Roman nobility living in the municipality of Philippi than any place else. And Paul uses in the book of Philippians a lot of the words that are directed at the notion of nobility. That is, being excellent and being noble in spirit. And toward the end of that book, he gives us a little bit of spelling out what that nobility consists of. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just or righteous, whatever is pure or wholesome, whatever is lovely or beautiful, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Think about these things. True, honorable, just, pure, commendable, excellent. Be one of the agathoi. Be one of the good people. Think about these things.